Hey, so welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So any new hobbies, anything you're interested in these days?
Okay, this is something that I've been really into, novicely, but now I'm deep diving into it, however that is. But I don't know if people know this about me, but I'm a big fan of flavored milk. Like, I love strawberry milk, chocolate milk, banana milk. But I'm also into, like, peach milk and melon milk. So I'm really into, like, different flavors of milk.
You had me up until peach milk. Though I think that would probably taste good. But, like, I'm right there with you when it's, when it comes to, like, banana milk and strawberry milk and chocolate milk.
Though I love milk. Like, I don't really, I'm not a big milk drinker, like plain milk. But I'll have a flavored milk as a treat. For like, you know, if it's a good day, I'm going to have a nice milk. Recently, I was at the store and I found a root beer flavored milk.
That's like, okay, wait, is it like one of the major milk brands, like, I don't know, Borden or whatever, or is it like some fringe band or something?
This is actually a local milk farm. I think it's called Volman's or something like that. It's here in Texas where I'm from. And they're basically like, we're kicking it old school. The milk comes in a glass jar, like you would get, like when you imagine the milkman delivering milk and I don't know, when was that, like the 60s?
Yeah, like forever ago.
Yeah, but they come in glass jars. I actually get charged a glass jar deposit fee every time I buy their milk. If you live near, like, they started delivering the milk. Like, they'll leave it on your doorstep like the milkman does if you're in their delivery area. But for a limited time, they have root beer flavored milk. And it is so good. It tastes like a root beer float, basically, but just like milk form.
Huh. I actually found their website. They do. They have a Texas homemade vanilla milk. They have a pumpkin spice milk and eggnog milk, which...
Wait, they have pumpkin spice now?
Yeah, I'm looking at pumpkin spice and eggnog, and I'm like, either they haven't updated their site, or, like, we've gotten really crazy on these flavorings, because there used to be a point where, like, you didn't get pumpkin spice until September, and now it's like, oh, we're going to start making it in July. And then eggnog. Eggnog's, like, the thing that's only good in December. Like, if you offered somebody eggnog in, like, March, they would probably look at you sideways.
Okay. Is this going to, like, get us canceled? I'm just going to say it, guys. I don't like eggnog. It's not good.
You're entitled to your opinions, all as wrong as they might be.
It's so thick. Why is it so thick?
Because, I don't know. I honestly have no idea what the recipe is for eggnog. I feel like I tried making my own once, but I don't remember any details of it. Like, years ago, like in college, I think I tried to make it, and I don't remember anything about the recipe.
It's just, it's so thick, guys. I don't enjoy it. But maybe eggnog milk. Maybe that's where it's at. I mean, I'm so into, I don't know why I've just gotten back into milk. I went on Amazon, I bought 3 milk t-shirts, which is like, I love banana milk and like, I love strawberry milk shirts that I can go out in public and let people know that I love flavored milk. It's my thing now.
I can appreciate that. So I was there with you one time. So, okay, like this is, I don't know if this is embarrassing or whatnot. It's just interesting because I think I'm talking to people, like I live in the Bay Area now. And so I know a lot of people who grew up here, grew up in Los Angeles, grew up in DC, grew up in New York City, whatever. And like those were very ethnically different cities. So a lot of the stuff I describe is like, yeah, whatever. But like, I grew up in San Antonio where at a time, I don't know how it is now. I think it's a little better now in terms of like ethnic representation. but when I was growing up, it was largely Latin and white and stuff. So, like, any Asian stuff or anything like that just didn't exist. Now, if you wanted to go to a corner store and get, like, Lucas candy or stuff like that, or get, like, go get barbacoa and or go get street corn, man, there were so many places to do that. But if I wanted to go get, like, Japanese candy or something like that, there was only one place. I remember moving to Austin and discovering, like, the Hanyang market and whatnot, which is the Korean market over in North Austin. And I remember they had, like, all the different weird milks, like banana milk and stuff. And I was just, I, like, went on a tangent just buying all of them and trying the different ones and stuff.
Okay. This is my thing with the banana milk. When I was growing up, there was a really good banana milk, and I don't know what, I cannot remember the name. It came in like a little jug. But now I cannot find it anymore, and I found a banana milk, but it tastes like more like fake banana than the milk that I grew up with, if that makes sense. You know, like that, like, banana flavoring? It's, like, too much of that.
Yeah. I also remember talking about collecting stuff. So, you're into the banana milk and whatnot. And granted, banana milk's not that different, I guess, because I remember Nesquik, maybe when I was in high school, had a banana milk stuff. But, like, blueberry milk and stuff, that was weird for me. But when it comes to collecting flavors, I had for the longest time, and still to this day a little bit, a thing with collecting the Japanese Kit Kats.
Oh, man. Those are good. Like, those are good. They don't... I know we talked about the Kit Kats before, but here in the States, we are not doing it justice, the Kit Kat flavor-wise.
We are not. Like, we need to up our Kit Kat game in the States. Like, I feel like, and yes, we've talked about it on a previous podcast, I know, but I feel like compared to, like, Japan, granted, a lot of it's because a completely different company makes it. If I'm not mistaken, Hershey makes Kit Kats in America, and Nestle does elsewhere. And for whatever reason, Hershey's like, dude, these are our, or at least up until maybe 5 years ago, Hershey was like, no, these are our flavors, milk chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate. That's just what they're going to have to do. And then Nestle's like, oh, we're just going to have fun with this, and we're going to have banana flavored and block flavored and sake flavor. And just, they're just like, we're just going to go nuts here. And then eventually, like, America was like, or she's like, all right, let's make a blueberry one, and let's make a mint one. Let's just get a little wild here, guys. But yeah, like, anytime I'd go to an Asian supermarket, or if I would go to Asia, I would buy, like, bags of the, in particular Japan, obviously, I'd buy bags of the Kit Kats and, like, bring them home and, like, share the wealth with everybody.
Okay, I just Googled it. I don't know if this list is, like, all the current flavors of Japanese Kit Kats, but there's 76 flavors that they have done.
I believe it, because every time I walk into a store, like, there's a store called Don Quixote in Japan. It's kind of like, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. It's almost like a everything store, like a general, I wouldn't say general store, but it's like five stories tall, and you could probably get anything you need there. So, like, you go to one store, it's electronics, and then another store, it's, like, groceries and stuff like that. It's almost like a Walmart, I guess you could say. And they have, like, a wall of Kit Kats. And every time I go there, I always see a flavor I've never seen before.
Okay, some of these... Okay, I don't... Now I'm questioning this list. Okay. One of the flavors is edamame. I don't know. Do you think that's real?
That is absolutely real.
Really? Edamame? Kit Kat? Okay, I guess I could Google these. There's also soy sauce?
Okay, that's just weird. Who?
Okay.
I mean, I guess maybe there maybe, you know, different cultures like different things, but like to me, I'm like, who would do that to themselves?
Oh, it's real. I just Googled it.
It's there was one really savory one that I had a while ago that wasn't, I can't remember. It tasted better than I thought it would. Because usually when I think Kit Kats, I think sweet. Like, you know, it doesn't even have to be that sweet, but it has to be, you know, somewhat sweet. Like, I don't think of Kit Kats as being savory, but there are some savory Kit Kats, I guess, like the one that you just mentioned. And I've tried a few. I think there was like a seaweed Kit Kat or something, but yeah, it gets out there.
Okay, wait. We're going to play a game real quick. I'm going to name three Kit Kat flavors, and you tell me which one's the real one.
All right.
Okay. Miso soup.
Okay.
Baked potato. And cough drop.
Miso soup, I'm going to say, is the right one.
Well, that's correct, because they're all real flavors of Kit Kats. Cough drop Kit Kat exists, everyone.
Why? That just seems useless. Just have a cough drop.
Oh my gosh. Wasabi? Vegetable juice? I don't know. I don't think these should... Green bean? I don't think these should exist, but I want them now.
There's a grilled potato Kit Kat. There's an apple vinegar Kit Kat.
Oh, man. I actually want to try the... They have a butter Kit Kat? That doesn't sound too bad. I mean, like, I wonder what it tastes like.
You know, now I wanted to make fun of you, but now I'm legitimately curious myself.
Of these, how they taste, or like...
Yeah, yeah. Like, now I really want to... Oh, there's one called Cookies Plus Kit Kat. Now I just think they're screwing with us with that one. Like, what is Cookies Plus?
Okay, there's a Caramel Macchiato McFlurry. Is that like a McDonald's sponsored Kit Kat flavor?
Probably. Salted watermelon. There's a bunch of different ones.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of that, did you ever like see all those people putting mustard on their watermelon? Remember, like, that was a thing?
I do not remember it, but it sounds disgusting, but you know, to each their own.
So I don't know. Do you know who Lizzo is? You know Lizzo?
Yes.
International superstar Lizzo, she did a TikTok or something where she put mustard on her watermelon and she ate it. She's like, this is amazing. And now I'm like, that needs to be a Kit Kat flavor.
All right, Bright Nestle. There's a good chance they'll agree with it.
Watermelon mustard Kit Kat.
You know what makes me sad is that there was an episode where Hank and the crew went to Japan and there was probably all those Kit Kats, but he probably only, like, knowing Hank, he probably just bought the milk chocolate ones.
I mean, do they even sell those? Like, I feel like those are the rare ones to find.
Probably. You know, I don't think that I've ever gone to Japan and looked for just, like, milk chocolate Kit Kats, so I don't know. Now, next time I go to Japan, I am going to look and see if, like, they have all those crazy flavors. Can I just get, like, the normal milk chocolate one there?
Oh, man. And now there's, like...
Or is that, like, American Kit Kat? Are they, like, maybe they brand that as American Kit Kat or something?
Do they laugh at, like, strawberry dark chocolate Kit Kat? They're like, oh, what is this? Simple flavor. Mint and chocolate? Who's coming up with me?
they're just like, oh, these are just so boring. A white chocolate Kit Kat? Come on. You could do better than this.
Their Kit Kats are like, I don't know. I can't even think of something crazy enough to not be a Kit Kat already in Japan.
Yeah. It's like whatever you could think of somebody is in a test lab somewhere is trying.
They're
it
like,
out.
Oh, you want? It's like new car smell Kit Kat. Tastes like when you bought a new car.
Don't make fun. They will actually
it's
do
there.
That.
It's someone in the labs already like, we've done it. We got it, guys.
New car smell Kit Kat. Yay. All right. Well, we've been on a Kit Kat. I mean, we could probably do a whole Kit Kat podcast or like a lost candy podcast, but I think we should probably talk about what the people came here to see.
Or I have to close these windows or I'll get distracted by these Kit Kats.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look it up later, too. So this episode is Little Horrors of Shop. So we are doing season 4, episode 4. So we're going a little earlier. And this one, this one made me really like Hank and really hate Peggy. And I'll explain more detail once we get to those parts. So the episode starts in the Hill Kitchen, and Peggy is grading biology tests. And she's going on like, man, I've gone through all these tests and not a single passing one. Man, these kids are just doing terrible. And she's just like doing a crazy upswing when she makes her exes and whatnot. And Hank's like, you know, you better watch that. You know, your doctor says you need to take care of your spine and you're going too heavy on those upswings. And of course, Peggy is like, you know, oh, I got to get back on my horse. And the best therapy for my spine will be lifting up that substitute year, teacher of the year trophy. For the third time in a row. And Bobby points out that she's marking the bio test with the English answer key, which is why everybody's getting everything wrong. And Peggy's like, stupid, rookie mistake. And she's like, well, where's the bio key? And she can't find it. So she's like, Bobby, bring me a frog. So I guess she's going to make her own bio key that way. We go to Strickland Propane, and Hank is talking to, I guess, a customer. And Strickland comes by and hangs up the phone on Hank and asks Hank, when was the last time you took a day off? And Hank's like, well, I took a day off when Bobby was born. I meant to tell you, but it just slipped my mind. I did come in and work that Saturday. And Buck is just like, oh, would you get the hell out of here? You know, I'm being squeezed by somebody over the insurance company. They say if you work too hard, you get sloppy. And when you get sloppy in the propane business, people die, and then my premiums will go sky high. And Hank's a little upset. It's like, I want them to look through my record and show one mistake. And he's like, Strickland's like, hey, just calm down. Just take 2 weeks off and come back. And Hank's like, well, can I just take my vacation at my desk? And Buck's like, no. Next day, we go to the Hill Kitchen. Peggy is like making toast for herself, but then she's also kind of waving her reading the stick around as if it's like a conductor stick. And it's like, oh, you're teaching band today? And Peggy's like, yeah. And Hank's like, oh, well, they should rename the trophy the Hill Trophy if you win this year. And Peggy's like, oh, I can't suggest that. You have to. And Hank's like, well, I'll have all the time because, you know, this not working is going to give me a heart attack. Imagine that. They find me, Hank Hill, found dead, not working. Hank decides, okay, well, I'm going to just kill time or whatever. He goes to the garage and sees that everything is perfectly organized, so there's nothing for him to do. So he's like, oh, well, let me go and rake the leaves. He goes outside. There are absolutely no leaves on the ground. So then he goes up to the tree and shakes it. Keep in mind, the tree is, like, green, so there's no reason leaves should be falling off. And he just picks a leaf off of the tree, puts it on the ground, and starts raking it. I kind of feel bad for Hank. I know people like this personally, who just can't not work. And I feel kind of bad for him because of it. But yeah, he's just like, man, I just want to work. I don't want to not do anything.
I cannot relate to that. I do relate to, like, when you have no work, when I'm sometimes I'll have to take a vacation just to use the hours, but I don't have anywhere to go or I don't have anything to do. So I'm just like, what do I do with my free time? There's like nothing to do. I've done everything I need to. So I can relate to Hank that way. I cannot relate to like not wanting to be on vacation.
Yeah, I've had a similar issue when COVID, like not really when COVID first started, but that first summer of COVID, like in 2020, I wanted to take a vacation, but there was also like nowhere to go. So I just did a staycation. I just hung out at home and did my vacation there. And yeah, I was just like, okay, what am I going to do?
Oh, I can totally relate to that. Yeah, when COVID first hit, I got furloughed. So like, I wasn't unemployed, but I wasn't working. So I was just at home. I did get a lot of single-player board games, though. So if you need to know a one-player board game, let me know. I've got suggestions.
I think I just played video games or something. I guess it was nice to not do anything, but at the same time, it was like, it didn't really feel like a vacation because I was still home, but it was at least I didn't work, so, you know, something. But yeah, so we go back to the fence where everybody's like drinking beer, and Hank's just really wanting to hear from other people because he's just, I guess he's bored out of his mind, so he's like, hey, Bill, any shaves today? And then he doesn't let anybody answer the question before he moves to the next guy. How's that new belt going for you, Boomhauer? Kill any bugs today, Dale? And Dale's like, no. And Bill's like, I did. He fell into the blue liquid where I keep the combs. And Dale asks what kind of bug it is and determines that it's a fly. And he was like, oh, I'd come by tomorrow and pick it up, but I'm busy with a termite issue, possibly multiple. And Hank's like, oh, man, you need help? I'm happy to help. And then Dale's like, sure, just chipping for gas and poison. They're tenting a home, and Dale is like, the beauty of tenting is that this is a hot zone for a week. It takes 2 days to spray, and the rest of the time, it's your own private playground. Go ahead and take a whirl on the bidet, or did you think it was a water fountain? Because I did. And Hank's like, oh, you know, I shouldn't be here. I can't believe I even sat on another person's toilet. And then Dale is like messing around with the dude's contacts. He gets out of the kitchen or out of the medicine cabinet. It's like, man, this guy's got terrible vision. Hank is now picking up Bobby from school and, you know, just trying to have a conversation. I guess normally Bobby either takes the bus or his mom takes him home. So Hank's like, oh, well, how was math? And Bobby's like, oh, you know, the teacher made a mistake on the overhead projector and erased it with her spit. And he's like, uh-huh. Okay, so what happened before math? And Bobby's like, oh, that's my new favorite class, shop. And then Hank's like, shop? Bobby, anytime I ask you what you're doing or how your day at school was, I mean, how was shop? And then Bobby's like, oh, it's great. The shop teacher eloped with the lunch lady, and once, you know, they're in Branson and honeymooning, and until they get back, it's a study hall. And Hank's like, oh, hold on, Bobby. And he acts like he's going to swerve or something, but he just like lightly parks on the side of the road. It's like, tell me what happened to shop, because he's really upset to hear it. We cut over to the kitchen really quickly. Peggy is stressing herself out about being a substitute teacher and all these classes. And Luann's joking, not even joking. She's like being serious. She says like, you know, I'm a pre-education major. I should be a substitute teacher. And then Peggy just starts laughing, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the idea, which is still kind of laughing at her, but okay. Hank's at the school, and he's trying to, you know, pitch getting the shop class back up. And it's like, hey, we can't afford a substitute shop teacher. And Hank is upset because he just feels like the Principal Moss, is just being very flippant about this issue with shop and doesn't care. And Hank's like, you know, I remember a guy back in the eighth grade who was really good with a miter saw. His name was Carl Moss. And then, you know, Carl's like, yay, you know, I grew up, I have responsibilities. And Hank's like, well, kids need shop, and I'll volunteer to do it for free. And then Carl is like, okay, well, since you're married to one of the substitute teachers, please keep the fighting and the he said and she said out of my school. And Hank's like, we have a very happy marriage. Okay, well, I don't want to catch you making out the teacher's lake. And he's like, teacher's lounge. And he's like, you won't. At the house, Hank is helping Peggy clean stuff. And she's like, at the house, Hank is helping Peggy with the dishes. And then Hank is like, so should I have them call me Mr. Hill or Hank? And Peggy's like, oh gosh, I think I dodged a bullet. When it came to Luann. I'm going to do for you what I wish I would have done for me when I got started. I created a unified theory of teaching. And she goes through this whole thing of academia and sanitaria and all that stuff and gives Hank some note cards. I guess this is where it starts to fall apart for me, because I wouldn't say fall apart for me, but it's like, Peggy is just being way too snobby of a teacher. Like, Hank is... Okay, I get it that Hank isn't a teacher formally. Like, he doesn't have formal teacher training. But he is incredibly passionate about shop. So I think he can figure out how to do the teaching himself. But Peggy has to come down with, like, I'm the teaching expert.
I do love that Hank kind of goes to her for advice. Because she is kind of the only person that does that, that he knows of. So he's like, she's won Substitute Teacher of the Year 2 years in a row. So he's like, she must have some great advice for me.
Yep, absolutely.
I also have a question.
No, go ahead.
This is like a real life thing. But when I was growing up in elementary school, sometimes other kids' parents would be our substitute teacher. Like, they would just like, is that a thing?
Yeah, that happened to me too when I was in elementary school. Because, like, substitute teachers just essentially, generally speaking, I don't know how it is today, but or in different school districts, but in mine it was like, they were just kind of there to, like, fill the room or, like, keep things going. Sometimes they would help with the courses and actually help with the class and homework. Other times they would just pop in a movie and call it a day or whatever. So I don't think you needed a ton of formal training in order to be a substitute teacher, at least at that age. I could be wrong. Maybe our school districts were cutting corners, but yeah.
Because I don't know Peggy's education history, but I don't know. It's really, now thinking about this episode, like rewatching it, and how Hank just volunteered to be a substitute teacher, and then how, like, I don't know. I know Peggy doesn't have a master's degree because there's that episode where she gets tricked into one. But I'm like, oh, are they just kind of voluntary people and they get paid?
I have no idea. I think maybe for a temporary thing. I think maybe, like, Carl knows what kind of person Hank is and realizes, like, okay, there's no real threat in having Hank teach shop. Like, he's passionate about shop. He probably won't get in trouble with the kids, yada, yada, yada. So that's kind of my thought, but I could be wrong. So now we're at the school, and we're actually in shop class, and Hank is, like, going through the note cards, and he realizes, like, oh, it's not really working. And even Bobby is kind of signaling to Hank that everybody's bored and just move this along. Hank hears a squeaky chair, and he gets up, and he pulls out this multi-tool and does, like, a little kind of almost switchblade thing to it. And it really impresses the kid, and he fixes the chair. And then they're like, oh, can you do that again? And he's like, what? And he just flips it, and they're all like, wow, that's so cool and stuff. And he asks them, hey, what were you building before this became a study hall? And they were building birdhouses. And they all bring theirs out. Most of them look like crap and stuff, including Joseph's. And, like, Hank's like, well, Joseph, I don't see the reason why your dad needs to find out about this. But then Hank's like, hey, you know, birds make their own houses. They're called nests. But I've never seen a bird make a boomerang or a dartboard. So he's like, let's have the kids build things that they actually want to build. Hank is at home, and he's like, you know, he's got this one kid who is kind of a troublemaker, but he thinks this mini foosball set will, a project will, like, you know, will kind of keep him in line or whatever. And Peggy's like, ah, so I guess my note cards worked. And then Hank's like, oh, I had problems with the note cards, but, you know, so I just winged it, did what came natural. And Peggy's not happy to hear this. Hank looks and sees that they don't have a bevel gauge and in the shop class, and he's like, oh, man, I wonder what cost-benefit Yahoo thought a shop class could do without a bevel gauge. And Bobby's just kind of agreeing, like, yeah, that Yahoo. And then Hank is like, oh, that looks good. Now make sure you to clamp this with the butt joints. And then Bobby starts laughing, and then Hank's starting to laugh a little bit too, but for different reasons. He's like, oh, okay, yep, joke's on me. You should use a miter joint. And then he's like, a miter joint instead of a, and then Hank's like, a butt joint. And Bobby starts laughing again. So Bobby's laughing because he's saying butt. But then Hank thinks Bobby's making fun of him for suggesting the wrong joint to be using. Kind of funny there. Meanwhile, Peggy is doing the is doing her chemistry class stuff, and she is teaching about liquid nitrogen, or I don't know exactly what she's teaching, but she is dipping her roads in liquid nitrogen, and she's trying to show how it will break. But when she drops it, it won't break, and then she just starts hitting it against the desk and eventually throws it out the window accidentally. In a shop, Joseph is getting complimented on his sanding, and you know, Hank is really just enjoying that the kids are loving shop. And he's like, you know, this is why we do shop. We don't do it to become more popular or to get into college. We do it to make stuff for our moms and whatnot. Peggy comes in, and Hank's like, oh, hey, Peggy. And she's like, oh, that's Mrs. Peggy Hill in front of the voters. The bell rang. These kids are going to be late in 2 minutes. Did anybody show you to make a hall pass? And he's like, no, but I made this rubber hall pass stamp. And then Peggy's like, well, what happens if that falls into the wrong hands, huh? Bet you don't have a rubber stamp for that. Hank goes to Principal Moss and is like, hey, here's a list of basic supplies we need. And Moss is like, oh, we can't afford any of these teaching aids, like wood. And then he just throws it away. And then Hank is like, you know, the Carl Moss I know. And Carl is like, give it a rest, Hank. All these parents care about is education and zero tolerance drug policies. Why can't Johnny read? Why can't Johnny read? Gosh, that's annoying. And Hank's like, well, you know, shop is the foundation for all learning. And let me tell you what, a youngster with a tool in each hand has no hands to use drugs. And Carl's like, they would just put down the tools if they wanted to use it badly enough. So, yeah, I think we're starting to see, and this is kind of why Peggy upsets me. She's getting upset because Hank is, one, teaching differently than she is, but then two, it's like she's skating by, like it's not falling apart. Like, you know, it's not like the class is going crazy and kids are throwing stuff and Hank is, you know, that the class is pretty organized. So I think Peggy's just really upset that Hank is teaching in his own way that works for him, whereas she is like, to her, teaching is clearly like, I don't know, a job. Like the only reason she's normally a substitute Spanish teacher, and now she's teaching band and bio and English and chemistry and stuff. And it's all because she's wanting to like win substitute teacher of the year award. So she's like not even teaching out of passion, and she's teaching out of she's teaching to win something.
Well, you know how much Peggy likes getting recognized.
True.
I also feel like, because I don't know. It's like Peggy's like, I've created the foolproof plan. I've done all the work. Why are you deviating? Or she's just like, maybe it's like a you don't trust me kind of thing. Or I don't know. It's just Peggy being Peggy at the end of the day, though.
Yeah, she's just being Peggy. And of course, Hank, we can see, is like just genuinely interested in the kids learning and enjoying shop. So Hank's back in the shop class, and he's like, man, I wonder if this is how shop was during World War II. And Bobby's like, I don't know. And Hank's like, you know, the reason why we won World War II is back home, everybody made do with what they had, like how we all came together and fixed Clark's chair. Hank decided, you know, that, hey, this school is like one big project. There's a bunch of stuff around here that's broken. We can bring tools from home and fix all the stuff. And so, you know, we see them going around and fix stuff. Like, for example, they're in the boys' room and, you know, there's a dirty poem on the bathroom. So Bobby sands it down and everything. After school, Peggy is driving Hank home, and one of the kids walked by and says, see you later, Mr. Hill. But, you know, Peggy at first thinks that the kid's talking to her. And so she does that thing where she waves, but then when she realizes it's Hank, like she tries to save herself from embarrassment by, you know, acting like, oh, I was just trying to adjust the rear view mirror. And Hank's like, oh man, I think these kids are really liking me, but more importantly, I think they're really liking shop. And then, you know, Peggy is like, well, that's great, but just because they're enjoying it doesn't mean they're learning it. And then another kid walks by and is like, see you tomorrow, Mr. Hill. And then Peggy's like, watch out for those brown nosers. We see that Peggy is now teaching either like U.S. history or U.S. government, and she's talking about the election process, but clearly it's like for her own purposes. She's trying to do a straw poll to figure out which, you know, how Peggy is doing with the students. So this also shows that this is like a, this isn't like the school board voting on it or anything. This isn't like the school board saying who's the best teacher. It's the kids. So usually that's like whoever was the easiest teacher is probably going to be the substitute teacher of the year if that's who the kids are voting for, generally speaking anyway. But she's like, yeah, we're going to do a straw poll to see which ones you guys like. And they do all the votes, and outside they see Hank and team all trying to fix the Tom Landry middle school sign, welding it and whatnot. And the kids are like, oh, cool. And then Peggy goes and closes the curtains and is like, oh, yes, well, if possibly burning our retinas is cool, then yes, cool. So then she reads the results, and like Laura Croft got 3 votes and 4 votes undecided, 4 votes for Peggy Hill, and 7 votes for Hank. Peggy is not happy to hear this. Peggy goes home, and she gets Bobby and walks with her, and she wants to know why people like Hank so much. Like, half of the kids who voted for Hank don't even take shot. And, you know, Bobby's like, Hank has positive buzz. And then Peggy's like, well, what about me? What's the buzz of me? And then Bobby's essentially saying, like, yo, you know, you're seen as an insider, you know, a suit, one of them. And Peggy's not happy to hear that. So, yeah, we're starting to see that Peggy is now starting to resent Hank because people like Hank more than her. And it's funny because Hank doesn't even see it as a competition. Like, I don't even think he cares about the award. Like, he is truly just motivated by making sure these kids enjoy shop.
Yeah, I feel like Hank would just give the award to Peggy. Like, he'd be like, I don't even want to be nominated. Peggy could just have it. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean anything to him. But man, Laura Croft is creeping up on Peggy.
Yes, like video game characters like one beneath Peggy. And Peggy also tied with undecided.
I do love that. I wonder if this is like the real voting, that it's just like a write-in.
Probably. If Laura Croft is on there, I'm sure it's a write-in. Because clearly she was like, whoever that is, so they're most likely talking about the video game character and not a substitute teacher who happens to be named Laura Croft at the school. Also, do they just not have a lot of substitute teachers? Because there are only 4 people listed there. Laura Croft, who is a fictitious character, even in that universe. Undecided, who is nobody. And then Peggy and Hank. Now, unless she just, I don't know, didn't read any others or whatever, but if I recall correctly on that paper, those are the only 4 names, so.
I do wonder, maybe it is. Maybe Peggy is the only substitute. Because they're bouncing around from, like, subject to subject.
That's true, because if she weren't the only substitute teacher, I'd imagine another substitute teacher would be doing chemistry or one of the other classes or something. Like, they wouldn't need to bounce her around. Now, granted, I know she's probably also signing up to do as many classes as possible so that she can win. But I also think that, I don't know, maybe they're just flippant and they don't care. But I also don't think that they would just randomly, like, let her choose whatever course she wants to. But who knows? I don't know. But I don't know what the Arlen school district's like. Maybe they are kind of flippant like that. So back at the shop, Clark runs in and says that Bobby's in trouble. Hank runs out and sees that Bobby has been caught by the principal for bringing tools such as hammers and screwdrivers and a what he calls like a pointy thing, but it's a keyhole saw. And he's like, Carl's like, well, you know, we have a zero tolerance policy. Anything that can be used as a weapon is a weapon. So I'm gonna have to suspend your boys. And you know, even if I showed a little bit of tolerance, then it couldn't be zero tolerance. And Hank's like, well, that's asinine. These are just tools. I told all the kids to bring some in. And then Carl's like, well, that's going to cut down on some paperwork. I'm going to have to let you go. Because, you know, he's the one who, I guess, told everybody to bring in sharp tools or whatever. Hank then leaves in a fuss. And then he goes back to the house that's being tented. And he is in the jacuzzi with Dale, so now he's obviously more comfortable, and he's just talking about how he's upset. Hank was upset. He's like, using a saw as a weapon makes as much sense as using a gun as a hammer. That's how my dad built my treehouse. That's how he cleaned it, too. You know, Dale's like, oh, you know, he's a bureaucrat. He won't listen to reason. We need to TP his house. And then Hank's like, oh, you know, it's not just Moss. It's the whole school board. And it's like, oh, we're going to need more TP than that. Hank is now back in the garage, and he's back to being bored, and he actually knocks over, like, a little can to so that it would spill out on the desk, but, like, a single screw falls out, and then he picks it up, so I guess giving himself something to do. All of a sudden, the kids all start showing up, and they say, you know, we need to finish our projects, and Hank is like, oh, okay, yeah, I can help. We only have 3 circular saws, but I have enough sanders for everybody. So the kids are making stuff, and they're like, you know, oh, they're just so excited. Can we learn more next week? And Hank's like, you know, I got to get back to the propane game. And just, you know, I got to get back to work. But remember, shop's in our hearts. And it's something that we all can do. And it's not just something we do in school or anything. And he gets all teary-eyed and everything. We see Peggy. She's back at the school and talks about how Hank is now disqualified because he's been suspended as a substitute teacher. And she says in protest, she is going to remove her name from the ballot and instead run as Mrs. Hank Hill. So I guess she's going to try to piggyback off of his success, off of his good name. At home, Hank is washing his hands, and Peggy shows up, and she's like, oh, you know, they just called, and they said that they are going to allow you on the school grounds. So that means that... That must mean that I'm going to win the award. At the school, Peggy, sure enough, wins the award, and she goes up to accept it, and she forgets her speech, but then Hank brings it out, and everybody starts cheering. Peggy initially thinks that they're all cheering for her until they hear the kids say, we love shop, thank you, shop, all that stuff. And as soon as Hank leaves, they stop cheering, but Peggy thinks that they're cheering for her, so then she's just like, gives out a big yell, but then it's like, it's kind of like the Howard Dean thing, but then nobody's making any noise, so just is really awkward, and the episode ends.
Oh man, what a great Hank episode. Like, it's just fun seeing Hank in his element, being really like doing what he loves and being able to like pass the knowledge down.
Yeah, my friend and I have a fan theory. Obviously, there's no way to prove it, but there's a theory that Peggy is the one who actually ratted out Bobby. Because Peggy realized the only way she would win is if Hank was no longer a teacher. And so, yeah, there's a theory. They don't ever actually say it, but I totally believe the theory that Hank got in trouble because Peggy ratted them out. Because, like, they've been walking around with tools for a few days now. And nobody got them in trouble. So I think Peggy must have said something.
I would not be surprised if that was the truth. I feel like Peggy would do anything to win.
Yeah. And it's clear that she doesn't even care. Because she's just like removing herself from the ballot but calling herself Mrs. Hank Hill. Like, that's clearly, she's hoping to confuse people or whatever by piggybacking off of his name. And yeah, it's just, and it's a dumb award too. Like, I get it. Awards are awards, but it's not like the school board is voting on her for being the best one. It was, it's just like the kids are just like, oh yeah, this is the best teacher. This is the teacher we like. And, you know, knowing kids, maybe it is the teacher who provides them with the best education, but maybe it's also just the teacher who was the easiest on them or something like that, or the teacher that was the easiest to take advantage of. Now, granted, I think they genuinely liked Hank because Hank was just cool. But everybody else, like, who knows? Like, but she's, like, taking this super seriously. And then Hank doesn't even care. He literally signs up to be a substitute teacher just because he truly believes that shop is something that these kids need in their life.
I do think he would have made the time. Even if he was still working, he would have found a way to, like, still get shop up and going.
I 100% believe that. He would have, like, found like a way to do it on his lunch break or something.
Also, I don't know why they didn't just leave the tools in the classroom.
True. Well, maybe they did, but like Bobby was on his way to like the bathroom or something to do something, and then that's when they caught him.
But I don't know. I feel like, I guess we couldn't have. Well, Hank is disqualified for sure, right? Is that what they said, or is that just something Peggy made up?
That's what Peggy said, but I imagine he would have been disqualified. Like, to me, it wouldn't have made sense for him to, what's the word I'm looking for? It wouldn't have made sense for him to still be eligible for the award after he had been, like, I guess, essentially fired from the
I wonder role. How many write-ins were for him.
I absolutely believe that there were tons of write-ins for him. But yeah, and then looking, and I'm sure like looking at that straw poll, I feel like Peggy probably just won by default. Because if, like, let's say people did do Laura Croft and Undecided, they're not going to give Undecided the award and they're not going to give Laura Croft the award. Let's say they wrote in Hank Hill, well, he's ineligible, so she probably just won by default.
Is this how Peggy won the past 2 years?
I really hope that is, because then it like paints it in another light that like her, like not to you know go down on her achievements or anything, but running unopposed is not exactly something to be proud of.
Well, at least she's a 3-time winner, so
that's true. This is one of my favorite episodes because I know we say it all the time. This is our favorite episode. Like, this is literally one of my top, like, 10 favorite episodes of King of the Hill, because I always like, I like that we see how evil Peggy is, but then we just see how genuine Hank is. Like, he's doing this for free. He's not getting paid. We don't know if he's getting paid vacation for that matter. So, you know, he may have needed the money. I don't know. But to him, like, it was way more important that the kids get to have a proper shop class than him being able to get paid. And it was clear, like, through the whole thing, that's all he wanted. He wanted the kids to learn and actually enjoy shop. Whereas Peggy, it was just like, oh, I want to win an award. But yeah, I don't know. What, do you have any other thoughts on this episode?
No. Like you said, it's one of your favorites. Definitely one of my favorites. I actually always forget about this episode until I'm, like, doing a watch through. And then just how fun this episode is. Where, like, Hank is genuinely... I love it when Hank is just trying to do a good deed or something like that. It's always nice to watch an episode. And, you know, also having him spend, like, some fun time with Bobby.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got to see some quality time that he spent with Bobby. And Bobby was enjoying shop, and Hank was enjoying teaching him shop. And it was perfect. But, yeah, that's all I've got. Next week, we are going to hit... not as much of my favorite as this one, but it's still an episode that I enjoy. It is a later episode. It's called What Happens at the National Propane Gas Convention in Memphis Stays at the National Propane Gas Convention in Memphis. And, this one is a Hank and Buck heavy episode, and it really dives into their relationship a little bit more. So, just stay tuned. You'll enjoy it. Until then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.